right, thank you, Kane. 807 now on FM Talk 106.5, says Mobile Mornings. The segment of the show presented by the Original Oyster House. If you're unaware, the Original Oyster House is a great Gulf seafood restaurant. They have two locations. They have one on the Mobile Bay Causeway, of course, where it's really cool. You can pull up your boat out back after a long day on the water, stop in and have some good food and some tasty drinks. And also, of course, the Original Oyster House in Gulf Shores at the foot of Highway 59. But I wanted to remind you, they have this great contest going on all the rest of this month. The last day that you can register is by August 31st at 8 p.m. And it's called the OOH Sunset Contest. And this is what you do. You show up at either location, either in Gulf Shores at the foot of 59 or here in Mobile on the Causeway. Show up right around sunset, maybe a little bit before sunset, so you can plan your shot. And what you do, you take a picture of the gorgeous sunset, either inside or outside of the Oyster House. Then you take that photo, post it on Facebook.com/Original Oyster House. Make sure you include the hashtag OOH Sunset. And you can even tag friends, they say here. You can campaign to try to win this contest. And you want to win it because the grand prize, they have many prizes, but you can win dinner for two there at the Original Oyster House. And they have all kinds of other great prizes, including the Original Oyster House tote bags filled with goodies. I guess the first time I realized, you know, of course you see the great view from outside the Original Oyster House, but I was on the one on the causeway. And at one point, I saw both prom pictures being taken out back and wedding photos. I mean, just a spectacular view, and both of those were going on at the same time. So you want to enter this OOH Sunset Contest. Last day to enter is by the end of this month, August 31st at 8 p.m. Once again, the Original Oyster House has two locations to choose from, here in Mobile on the Causeway and in Gulf Shores at the foot of Highway 59. And you want to make sure you check them out online at originaloysterhouse.com. I'm Dalton Norwood, Kelly Finley in here as well, and it's a pleasure to be joined by Mark Holliday.
Well, there's a reason why he's part of this discussion. Ugh. Because we're talking something very, very serious.
Yeah, I think it's ageism, actually.
No, don't
pull that on us.
We're pulling from three different vantage points when we talk about this subject that we're talking about.
Yeah, because school's starting back. If you're a parent, I hope you're aware of that. If you're a kid and you're not aware of that, well, you're about to have a rude awakening. Mm-hmm. Next week, I think both Mobile and Baldwin counties will be in.
Mobile is next week. Baldwin County is the following week.
Okay. All right. But either way, they're both getting started very soon.
Yep.
And I found this really interesting, I guess, poll that they had, because I'm not aware of this yet because I'm not a parent yet, but spending money on school supplies. I guess I was a kid at once, but, you know, I wasn't paying attention to that number sign down at the bottom of the receipt.
You just wanted it.
Yeah, I just wanted the cool binders and I had no Hello Kitty binders in my backpack. I'll tell you that much. But this poll talks about back-to-school expenses and the average parent spending $189 on new clothes for their kids and $186 on gadgets. So they're saying here your wallets are about.
Wait, why are you laughing?
Gadgets are a big deal now, Mark.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have that iPad or that Kindle. And you know, you can get so many textbooks. I'm not sure if the schools around here are doing the textbooks on the iPad or on the different pads yet.
Yep.
That'll be big before long. But
the MacBooks. I mean, sometimes they're issued the computers, but you have to pay a fee associated with if there's any type of damages that happen to the cord or to the keyboard. And that can start at about $75 or so.
Oof, man, that'll add
end
up
of the
quickly
year
too.
End of the year when cords come up missing. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Well, this poll looks at year to year spending and how much more parents actually have to spend this year than just last year on these school supplies. They have the seven biggest back-to-school expenses that you have to worry about and how much the average parent is expected to spend. So the number one thing that most money will go to for parents who are getting their kids ready for school this year are, like I mentioned earlier, new clothes. The average parent will spend $189 or has spent $189 this year getting their kid ready for the school year. That's up from $153 last year.
That's almost right on target for us this year.
The Goodwill sells them cheaper.
That's true.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, of course.
I mean, where do you think I got my clothes?
And I wonder.
That's a great idea, too.
I don't think I really, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't buy a whole lot of new clothes before every school year. And I remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, because I used to listen to Fresh Prince all the time when I was a kid. And one of his songs was about going back to school shopping with his parents and how fresh he needed to look with all the new clothes there in Philadelphia.
It also matters what, you know, which school district you're in. I grew up and we did not have uniforms, so your costs are going to be a little bit different compared to those who not only have uniforms but regulations, like skirts can only be, they have to be so long, and shirts have to look a certain way, 3 buttons, 2 buttons, collar, no collar, hoodie, no hoodie. I mean, when you add in all these specifications to these lists, then your prices will climb if you were not that early bird, you know, with that, the whole early bird gets the worm deal and doing this early.
Yeah, and I imagine, you know, the places that don't have school dress codes anymore, those people probably spend more money on clothes every year.
Because you got to look fresh.
Yeah, you got to look cool. As far as me, I mean, we had a dress code at my school from the time I entered high school. It was basically the same every single year, so thankfully, I stayed mostly the same size through those 4 years, and I was able to, and of course, you have to refresh every now and then if you get a hole in your shirt or whatever, but I didn't really spend that much on clothes. But that's not true for most parents, spending $189 on average. Now, this next one has gone up way up, and that's electronics, gadgets, the second biggest item of spending. That's $186 on average that parents will spend per kid on electronics for this upcoming school year. That's up from $121 last year.
I did want to add one more thing about clothing. This is the first year that Baldwin County will not be in uniform. So the pricing is going to change for those parents whose children go to school, because with it being the first year, you know, you have to have everything new. I mean, like everything.
Yeah.
And then we know, especially in that middle school time frame where hormones kick in and, you know, girls start taking on a different shape and boys start getting, you know, a little bit taller, the deeper voices and everything. I mean,
yeah.
So the Goodwill is, that's an excellent piece of advice. I think more, for me, I would say more toward the middle of the year. So you kind of see, like, the kid you're dealing with. Like, how tall are you going to be this year?
Or any thrift shop.
I've
just picked the
I'm a fan.
Any thrift shop.
Yeah.
Penelope's,
I shop them all.
Penelope's Closet's a great one. I mean, because you know
Samaritan's
how it is.
Samaritan's purse.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Samaritan's purse.
It's because you think about kids. Kids, they spill things, they rip things, and to replace them with brand new, I mean, replacing brand new items, whether it's clothing or electronics for people who don't have jobs, you better be thankful you're getting something.
Yeah.
That's the attitude.
Well, the second thing on the list, the electronics, that's something, I mean, when I was coming up, the electronics were getting big, but I wouldn't like out buying laptops or anything for the school year. I didn't really, we weren't using iPads or anything of that nature, but I'm sure along every single year technology advances, gadgets become a bigger deal in schools.
What about a scientific calculator? Did you have to have one of those?
I probably had to have one.
Why are you laughing?
I'm not sure if I...
I'm laughing because my scientific calculator was a slide rule.
See why I wanted you part of
a slide rule. Anybody know what a slide rule is?
What about a compass with sharp end?
Well, I had compasses back in, elementary school, actually, I think. Mm-hmm. At least what is now called middle school. We had compasses.
I like how you say that. And the crayons, did you have the 64-pack with the sharpener, or did you have the 8-pack?
Oh, now you're going way back. That was like kindergarten, first grade.
Because I knew very few people with the 64-pack and the sharpener. I mean, you must know somebody who works at Crayola to have something like that.
I think at home my sister and I shared a 64-pack, but to carry to school it was like, you know, your basics.
Yeah.
Red, blue.
I had to have a Trapper Keeper. A Trapper Keeper.
A what?
You know what that is.
I know what it is, but, you know, it's like...
Yeah. For the younger people listening, it's, you know, you have, let's say, your 5 folders within a bigger folder.
A binder?
And it closes with a Velcro.
It's a Trapper.
It's a Trapper.
It's the keepers that are inside the Trapper.
See?
Or the Trappers
between
are
that the and the thermos, the He-Man thermos. You couldn't tell me nothing.
All right, we're going to head to the break. I've got to finish this list here. We made it through a whole 2.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Out of how many?
2 on the list. We'll get to the rest right after this. More Mobile Mornings on the way. I'm Dalton Norwood, Kelly Finley, Mark Holliday in the studio with us also. Coming back. Hey, Thanks again, Kane. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, Kelly Finley in studio as well. Mark Holliday joins us on this fine Thursday morning.
Hey-o.
Sean Sullivan will be back very, very soon, getting some much-needed time off.
And he deserves it,
yeah,
for sure.
He definitely does deserve it. And because just like him, or he, just like many others around our area, have school starting back very soon. Got to send those kids back to school. Very major component of that is all the money that parents have to spend before they're actually able to take the kids to school. And we were talking about these, the big prices you have to pay for different things before your kid is ready to make it back to school. Earlier we discussed the top spending item for parents that are sending their kids back, $189 for new clothes to send their kid to school and some new duds. That's the highest thing they usually have to pay on average. Gadgets and electronics, that's second on the list, $186 on average. That's up from $121 just last year. Now we're on number three on the list, and I'm surprised this wasn't included under under the new clothes part of it, but new shoes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I would have thought that would fall under the clothes category.
Mm-mm.
But it says the average parent will pay $95
mm-hmm.
for shoes for
wow.
their kids,
yeah.
sending them back to school.
You want sturdy shoes that
is
they
that
could,
four pair?
No, that's one. Because you want sturdy shoes that they can obviously wear each day to school, but also in PE.
Mm.
Because when they're taking these, the gym classes, as we would call it, they're outside, they're inside, they're sometimes playing extra, they're part of teams outside of school. So you want a pair of shoes, that's just for one pair, and you need a couple of pair if they're doing different sports, because you can't have regular shoes if you're running track. You have to have some sort of cleats.
Yeah.
Or if you're playing soccer, or if you're playing football or baseball, those are totally different shoes from the shoes that you would wear inside of a building.
Well, yeah, and that's a great point, because this doesn't even bring into account if you taking part in extracurricular
right.
activities, all these
mm-hmm.
extra sports, because that's probably football.
Oh, that's extra stuff.
Yes, there you go.
That's
football, I spent, I didn't spend it. My parents spent a lot of money on cleats. I mean,
sure.
those run
and,
real high.
And you know what makes your parents want to, I mean, it hurts to spend the money, but you love seeing your kid happy. Keep your parents happy by taking care of the items that they purchase for you. Like, I really like that, because our children, they play basketball,
mm-hmm.
and so they have enough shoes where they can have a pair for basketball indoors. They don't wear those shoes outside. They make sure to put on, you know, another pair of
street
shoes.
Shoes.
What did you call them?
Street,
exactly.
Street shoes.
So that they protect the shoes that are supposed to be for indoor play. So that gives them more life, which stretches our money, and I'm all about that.
Yeah, great point there. I wish you could go back and tell Dalton, take better care of your things, man. Your parents will like you more. Number four on the list, and I'm a big fan of these, backpacks. $45 on average
during the break
for
yeah.
a new backpack.
How much?
That's $45 on average,
oh,
and
wow.
that's up
yeah.
from $33. Now, I'm a grown adult. I've been out of all kinds of school. I graduated college six years ago. But I have bought at least three backpacks since
mm-hmm.
I graduated college, just mm-hmm. To bring stuff to work. I like collecting them. It's really weird, but even as a kid, I liked having a cool backpack more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess a lot of kids out there are the same, because parents are spending $45 on each backpack.
I never had backpacks going to school. I know I'm going back to the Stone Age and, the stone wheel, but we never had backpacks. You know, we carried them under our arms or wrapped a belt around and hung it over our shoulder for our books and binders and stuff, but I do like backpacks now,
mm-hmm.
and I have a couple of backpacks that I utilize on a regular basis for a variety of items, but it's outdoor stuff.
So your backpacks to you are what purses are to women.
Yeah, I guess.
I just wanted to put that out there. But you know,
it's
I've
a satchel,
fanny pack. I have seen, Mark, have you seen this? I'm sure Dalton, you have, but children whose backpacks are so heavy that they have the type of backpack that can turn into almost like luggage, and they have
yeah.
wheels on it.
Yeah.
And these textbooks are so big that they have to carry them around. I mean, there are some schools are completely online. They do everything with their MacBooks, their iPads. But there's other schools who kind of do both.
Yeah.
And there's some who aren't fortunate enough to have the electronic component. But these kids and their little backs and their spines, I mean, you have to have a good durable backpack that can withstand rain, can withstand them falling on it, jumping on it, dropping it, you name it, on top of having 30, 40, 50 pounds of books, notebooks, a lunchbox, PE gear, all that stuff stacks up. So if you're going to save some money on some things, you maybe save a couple of dollars on certain pencils. And don't go mechanical, go old school, but throw that money toward a better backpack, because you're talking about their spine.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how many schools. I think a whole lot of schools now have to have those clear backpacks or mesh backpacks.
Sure, yeah, and that's a security measure because it's gotten so insane in our schools these days that you have to have, like you said, a see-through, a clear or a mesh backpack so that security can see whether or not you're bringing something you shouldn't be bringing in.
Right.
Number five on the list here, art supplies, including things like crayons. The average parent per kid will spend $24 before they send the kid to school. $24 on art supplies. That's up from $17 last year. I don't know where all these price jumps are. Has everything jumped that high in price over the last year, or are kids that much more needy?
I don't think it's needy. It's that it's if we're trying to compete with other countries and other people around the globe, we want our kids to have the appropriate supplies. And so teachers are trying to teach, be creative with their teaching, and that means supplies are a part of it. And also what's not on that list is we donate to the teachers, because unfortunately teachers have to dig into their own purses, their own pocketbooks to help support children. And I don't care which school district you're in, because these teachers are loving what they do and they want to go the extra mile, but they'd feel bad asking parents to spend another dollar for something. So they many times will dig into their pockets and purchase items for our children. And so as parents, what I've learned to do is ask teachers, maybe, you know, when you have the back to school or the meet the teacher deal, and ask them, hey, what do you really need for this classroom? And then just add that to our list, because it's much easier to do it when we're getting everything than some random item. But those prices, they add up. And these supplies, they don't just need markers. They need fine point tip markers with the curved handle or so. I mean, you're laughing because you know exactly what
I'm talking about.
I tell you what, though, this year was the first year I got my act together and I made it out to the tax-free weekend.
Hey, we were lucky if we had yellow number two pencils.
Right, and you don't have a sharpener. You have a little knife, don't you? You can sharpen the
side. See, Kelly, I'm so glad you're here, because you are the ying to my yang. You donate to teachers. The only thing I donated to teachers as a kid was frustration. Yeah. Like a lot of frustration. Maybe my parents were paying them off under the table. I'm not sure. Somehow I made it through, but I did not give my teachers anything except frustration. Crayola, you know, we're talking about art supplies here. Maybe their marketing is really working, because they have to they're like Oreos or some of these other companies where they have to reinvent the wheel to get people excited about Crayola. They're coming up with they're like, hey, we have a brand new color.
A new color. who would have thought? And new delivery systems. I mean, you know, it's not just crayons, the wax things that you can melt, out in the sun if you wanted to, but, you know, markers and vibrant colors.
And they have to be washable markers, too.
And fluorescence and neon.
And highlighters. Don't forget highlighters.
Oh, yeah.
And that comes up in this next one, pencils and pens. That's number six on the list. $15 on average. I probably spent more than that. I have some weird fascination with pens. And it's probably because I write so much, but I like having a new pen every so often. It's really weird, but I'm super into pens.
You're like me. You buy those 8-packs. When you go to the office store, you buy those 8-packs of the ones that you like, and you keep on hang on to those.
Yeah, well, I try to hang on to them.
Well,
around
sometimes
they disappear pretty quickly.
I know there have been times when we come in here and you say, is that my pen? I was like, no, that's my pen. I know it looks exactly like your pen, but that's my pen.
And number seven here on the list, wrapping up the top things parents have to pay for, folders and notebooks. That'd be trapper keepers, I guess. That's $15 on average. That's up from $12 last year. So when you add all of that together, it says here, average parent paying $569. Ooh. In gear and stuff that their kids need for the school year. That's everything on the list, but obviously that's just an average. Some will spend a whole lot more, some will spend a whole lot less.
Binders, 3-ring binders.
Thrift store. Or half inch, 1 inch, 3 inch. I mean, it goes into thrift store. I know.
I'm telling you, I've picked up a lot of binders for a lot of reasons at the thrift store.
Hey, we're coming back. More Mobile Mornings on the other side of the break. Maybe we'll get off the school topic just a little bit, but we'll be back. More Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks, Kane. 836 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. Mark Holliday still in studio with me. Kelly Finley had the jet. She'll be back early tomorrow morning. Sean Sullivan will be back soon. Right now on the line, we have the one, the only, Rob Holbert. As we do every single Thursday morning. Good morning, Rob.
And that's a lot of build-up.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, if I had that dun-dun-dun, I would have played that also.
Because I don't disappoint here.
But a great new issue of Lagniappe out right now, and we're going to talk about a few things that are in there. And I should ask you, Rob, where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about the governor, or you want to talk about that amazing cover story in this week's Lagniappe?
Well, let's talk a little about the governor's situation. There's been a lot of arguing about debates, whether they're going to have a debate or not, whether Maddox and Ivy will have a debate. I'm old school. I'm one of those people who believes if you want to be the governor, if you want to be the president, you know, particularly these big, you know, head of state jobs, that you ought to have a debate, you know, or two. You know, I think we should. I feel like it's owed to the public. But the governor has just said she's not going to do that and told, you know, that Maddox to go debate himself, which you can read into that one, whatever that means. But I figured the next best thing I could do is go to their websites and figure out what their plans are for Alabama. I can't, you know, we have not been able to really get anything from Governor Ivy saying these are my plans for being governor. And, you know, she has not run for governor before. I guess briefly she did before switching to lieutenant governor years ago. But we've never had her stand up and campaign for governor and tell us. So it's kind of I wanted to look at these things. And when I went to their websites, it was kind of interesting. You know, I clicked on the issues page for both of them, what they thought the issues were. Mm-hmm. So
I bet those were filled with all kinds of information, right?
They were. They were filled with lots of information about what they place is, that, you know, how they rank the priorities. And so, you know, I went to Maddox's page, starts out talking about making elected officials accountable, and he has a 9-point plan for ethics overhaul.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Ivy's first issue says, I believe in God, and I believe we need to look to him for the answers. That's it.
Wow. That's okay. Her main tenet, I guess.
That's her number one. Okay, so Maddox lists jobs as his next most important issue. He describes the issue, says there's 600,000 citizens are either unemployed or working jobs that don't match their skills. Governor Ivy's second issue says, I believe every life is precious. As a pro-life governor, I will always fight to protect the unborn. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Third issue.
There's no more detail in that?
Or no, just... there's no detail. There's none. There's no links to anything. There's just these are her issues on her website. Because, you know, on the web, you can write as much as you want. There's no limit. You can put as much information as you want. And, you know, so third, you know, Walt says roads and bridges. He's got several links to plans. He does have a 12-cent per gallon tax increase plan, too, you know, which is something there that, you know, we can all debate about. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I agree with everything he's saying. I'm just pointing out that he gives us a lot of detail on what he wants to do.
Right.
Ivy's third issue says, I believe in the Second Amendment is clear and ought to be protected. I will always defend our right as a law-abiding citizen to keep and bear arms. That's it.
Wow.
You know, so fourth on Maddox's list is health care for the state. He has a health plan for Alabama, plans for opioid crisis, plan to improve the state's mental health care system. And for Ivy, the fourth issue is jobs, which she says, I believe my job is to make sure you have a job. As a governor, I have fought every day to get Alabama working again and over 14,000 new jobs and counting, ..
Well, okay. I guess, I mean, she has brought our unemployment numbers down, Rob.
I'm just saying, so her fourth one is actually something that has to do with Alabama issues, per se. You
and
know?
What she's done.
That's something that's already been done, according to her, so... And then Maddox has his final issue is education, and he has a proposal. He's got two different proposals linked in there, as well as a state lottery he's proposing. And Ivy touches on education at that point, too, saying basically she'll make sure our children come first, although I do point out it's behind guns on her list. She has a couple other ones, like standing up for the little man, which I'm pretty sure was from Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
But anyway, I've going to get called from some people who are Republicans who say, you know, you're picking on Governor Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some Republicans that I know who say she's really well prepared for this job. I've had others who know her, and these are dyed-in-the-wool Republicans who say she's an empty suit and she's being controlled by people up there. They want her in office. I can't get a handle on it because she won't come out and talk. And I think this is it's kind of sad to me to see that even on a website they won't give you very much detail.
Rob, Mark here in analyzing both of the candidates' websites. Would you say that maybe Ivy has plugged into politics in Alabama? I mean, most of what she's talking about is social. She, you know, God, guns, and right to life.
Unemployment numbers and jobs?
Sure, Mark. It's 100% pandering is what it is. And you know, that's the problem I have. And again, I'm not advocating one candidate over the other, but I am just saying that if you don't want to have a debate, but you also won't even put stuff on your website that tells people what you want to do, I don't understand that part.
And she, well, we have the poll question up on our website now. And you remember this week or late last week when she said the only people that want to see a debate are the press and her opponent, Walt Maddox. Well, right now, that's our question on the website. Should Kay Ivey debate her gubernatorial opponent before the general election? And right now, the yes votes are winning 55% to 45%. And I'm sure that it wasn't only press and Walt Maddox voting in that poll.
No, I mean, I doubt it. I can tell you I went down to the APA, the Alabama Press Association convention last week, and that's not a bunch of, you know, look, that is not a giant liberal crowd, trust me. It's, you know, it was all mostly stodgy old publishers like myself. And, you know, that's not what you would consider the, you know, the left-wing press by any stretch. These guys are all business owners for the most part. And there was a lot of derision about her not even being willing to come down there and speak to that group or showing up for debates or doing any of those things. And I think, you know, there's a lot of disappointment, I should say, that those things aren't happening. I think the average Alabamian wants to hear what they have to say. I think we should. I think we're owed that.
Well, like you said, it's clear what her strategy is. It kind of reminds me with football coming up. It's like Charleston Southern playing some major D1 team, and right. The D1 team is just running the ball and playing good defense, while Charleston Southern, being Walt Maddox in this situation, throwing those long passes, trying to catch, you know, just taking the chance that they may be able to win or even keep it close. But has she even done any, like, controlled interviews about the issues where she knows what to expect coming in, or maybe she could do like a Reddit Ask Me Anything or something down the road?
There's really very little of that, and when she is in public, it is extraordinarily controlled, and you don't really get much opportunity to ask her anything. And, you know, it, like I said, you know, a few months back, the one time they had her here and the press was in the room, somebody asked a question, they threw all the media out of the room. You know, I don't think It's really kind of bizarre to me that we can't have the opportunity to ask the sitting governor, who wants to be the governor, who wants to be elected for the first time as governor, to just some simple questions about what her stances are on things and what her plans are for things. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, you know, in her top 10 issues, Alabama issues are very few. I mean, there's, you know, most of them are things she has no effect over. You know, her belief in God is nice, but it doesn't do anything. You know, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And, you know, I think Walt Maddox believes in God, too. I think most of the people involved in politics believe in God. And so I don't know that makes anybody special.
And he's not competing against God. He's competing against Kay Ivey. So we need to hear what Kay Ivey wants.
You know, and abortion, you know, that's a national issue. Gun rights, national issue. You know, those are things that are really national issues. We're not talking about, you know, there's no mention in her, she doesn't even mention infrastructure in her top 10 issues. So does that bode well for us in terms of getting the I-10 bridge built?
Well,
I don't know.
It sounds to me like she and her handlers are playing this to win.
Mm-hmm. They are. They
and
are.
Not
you
to
know,
let
I,
us
I
know
mean,
what she's going to do.
The last person I saw that did that was Luther Strange. He also was unavailable for anybody. You
right.
couldn't talk to him. You know, the only people he would let talk to him were, you know, some right-wing publications or some, you know, I think he went on some talk radio, no offense, but there was not any, you know, he wouldn't let just, you know, straight reporters ask him questions. We didn't get the chance to do that.
Right.
And, he tried to play out of the clock, too. It didn't work for him.
And this kind
of... I'm not saying that's going to be the situation for her, but...
Right, and it kind of makes me nervous. As a citizen, mm-hmm. kind of makes me nervous that this is the game, you know, to win, type of thing, as opposed to what are you going to do after you win?
You know, I had somebody who's very high up in Republican politics call me and give me a hard time about writing about Kay not debating and these things, and she's really ready. She's ready. And I said, okay, well, then tell her to come call. You know, she didn't have to come down here and kiss our rings, but come down and talk to people, whatever, you know, do something. Well, I think I think y'all deserve that. I think everybody deserves to hear that. And, you know, that was a month and a half ago.
Right.
So, you know, it's not, I don't think we're going to see those things unless the poll numbers really close rapidly, and then I think she'll be forced into it. But, right. You know, there's 3 months out. There's still time, and I don't know that it's the smartest thing in the world unless she just feels like she absolutely can't get it done in a debate setting.
Let's talk a little bit about this fascinating but sad cover story that you have this week, written by Dale Leash. What was Dale writing about this week?
Well, it's an issue that we've been dealing with around here for a decade now, and it's not it's not a new story per se, but it is it's kind of picked up a little steam again. That there was up in the 8 Mile area, there was a mercaptan spill, and if you don't know what mercaptan is by now, it's the chemical they put in natural gas to make it smell like rotten eggs. So you'll smell a gas leak because natural gas has no smell. So this is put in there to basically as a warning. And so there was a large gas spill up there caused by a lightning strike, supposedly. And it got into the groundwater. And it has, for a decade now, the people in that area have had, they claim, health problems from it, nosebleeds, headaches, et cetera, et cetera. HUD has now come down and really started looking into it because it some of that area abuts some of their public housing. But it's kind of a fascinating issue in terms of what's the corporation going to do. Mobile Gas, of course, is now Spire. They don't really want to do any more than they have to do. They've got wells out there and they're cleaning the water, and there's a good explanation of what they're doing to try to clean the groundwater, but the people out there still say they can smell it. It still comes up. They feel like their houses have lost all their value. There's a really, in the story, there's a really interesting look at a city out in California where they had the same kind of thing happen, and the response out there was considerably different.
And I knew about the safety measures surrounding mercaptan and why they put that in the gas, but I guess I didn't realize how dangerous to your health it could be. And Dale writes in here about people that have like nosebleeds and their lungs are failing off.
And that's one of those things that, I mean, when we looked at the one out in California, it was the same types of symptoms from that. And so, there's, not saying the company's not doing anything. If you even on the look on the front cover, there's a picture of the wells behind it that they're doing, the cleaners that they're using to try to clean the groundwater and process it. And there's a good description in the article about what they're doing. But, it has been a decade of this for these people. I mean, that's 10 years of having to deal with this chemical spill. And a lot of those folks feel like, hey, we've lost the value of our home. Imagine if you had a chemical spill next to your house for a decade, how much it would affect the value of it.
Well, I implore everyone to get out and get the new Lagniappe and read that story. It's just fascinating, and all kinds of other great stuff in this week's issue. And how do people go out and get it, Rob?
Well, they can get out and walk out there and get one out of one of our pink or purple boxes, or they have 1,400 locations that we have all over Mobile and Baldwin County, or you can go online at lagniappemobile.com, or you can have it delivered to your home by the U.S. Postal Service for $1 a week, and that helps us do this fantastic journalism.
Yeah, and that's what I do. I'm one of the people that gets Lagniappe every single week in my
mailbox.
You love
mailbox. It, don't you?
Oh, I love
great,
it so much. It? But I always flip straight to the FM Talk ad and look at that and throw it away.
I just like to look at yourself in the ad, I know.
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us this morning, Rob.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. 8:50 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and we'll come back from the break, wrap up the show before Laura Ingham Show comes on at 9 o'clock. And noon today, Chip Brown filling in for Sean Sullivan. Should be a great show.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, all that and a whole lot more coming up. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. 8:56 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday with you on this Thursday. A couple stories I wanted to get to. I might be able to get to one of them here before we wrap the show up. But, you know, the debate about leaving dogs, there's not much debate. You should not leave a dog, cat, or child in a car when you go inside.
Oh, right? Absolutely not.
This guy, Richard Hill from Parma, Ohio, he feels the exact same way. Of course, Ohio, not as hot as Mobile, Alabama, but he was walking through a Walmart parking lot this last Saturday afternoon, and he saw a crowd that had gathered around this car that had two dogs inside of the car. So Richard acted quickly, unlike everybody else around the car. He grabbed a hammer, broke the window to go ahead and rescue those two dogs that were in the car. But the cops came by, and they went ahead and reviewed some of the security footage. The dogs were in the car for 8 minutes, and the high in Parma that day was 78 degrees. So, like I said, not as hot as it gets down here, but 78's still warm. They'd only been in for 8 minutes, but the police went ahead and cited this man for criminal damage.
Sure,
yeah. For breaking into the car. That's because there's a law in Ohio, and the law is supposed to give people immunity for breaking a car window if they're rescuing a child or an animal. But after they investigated a little bit, they decided because of the temperature and because the dogs had only been in the car for 8 minutes, they felt like Richard made the mistake by breaking the window.
Well, how would he know how long they'd been in the car, number one? And number two, 78 in the sun in the middle of the day.
Yep.
The temperature inside can get, maybe not deadly. I don't know, but it can be extremely uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. For anybody, animal or human.
Yeah, this is bad PR, I think, for that police department. If they haven't already dropped the charges this morning, they probably should go ahead and do so, because what's going to happen the next time somebody's walking through maybe that exact same Walmart parking lot,
right,
and they see dogs in the car, they're going to think back to Richard Hill, who thought he was doing the right thing and broke the windows to save the dogs, but got charged with it.
Got arrested, yeah.
Richard said he is planning on fighting the charge. Sure. The quote they have him with here, "This situation right here is what deters people from actually stepping up and doing the right thing."
Exactly.
I think, I'd like to think if I'm rolling through Ohio, or if I'm here in Alabama and I see dogs in a car, or especially a child in the car,
sure,
I'm breaking the window.
Busting that window.
I'll take that charge.
Absolutely.
Props to Richard. I want to give Richard Hill two thumbs up. More thumbs if I had them. 8:58 now.
We got four thumbs up.
Four total. Laura Ingraham Show on the way. Midday Mobile at noon. This has been Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.